You have to understand who wrote first five chapters. Moses, the Torah, but it's also called the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. First five books of the Bible. Okay, he lived in four of those books, right? Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. But he wrote the book of Genesis. And every scholar out there pretty much believes that. But he lived, I think it was 2,500 years in front of Genesis. He didn't have a cell phone. He didn't have encyclopedia. He did have letters that were passed down, obviously, stories. But when he wrote the book of Genesis, he was writing real live accounts. I mean, words that were spoken, emotions that were spoken. It's like, how could someone write that book like that and not have lived there? I mean, you think the writer of Genesis was actually living there because he was providing extensive detail into their lives, decisions, emotions, actions, reactions, and responses of, with intimate detail. As we've been seeing, not only did John, God just didn't show John. You remember he was in the Spirit in chapter 1. He gave him the revelations of the seven churches. So that filled up John 1, 2, and 3. And then he opened a door, say a door, in heaven. He said, come up hither and I'll show you the rest. Things to come. But when he came up hither into the door of chapter 4, John wasn't just seeing it in writing prophetically. John was participating. And by chapter 5, he's speaking to an elder about an event that hasn't even happened yet. And not only was he speaking, he was weeping real tears. He said, I wept much. And then the elder came and spoke with me and said, don't worry, the Lamb has prevailed. And he did this all through the book of Revelation. He wasn't just writing a prophetic scene that he was seeing and hearing. He was seeing, hearing, understanding, and participating. That's a whole nother prophetic realm than the one we're in. So he received from his normal operation, you could say, even when the Lord was sending him in a glorified state in chapter 1, but he had to go to another place for another operation. Because when he wrote chapter 1, 2, and 3, he just wrote the letters, admonition, correction, rebuke, encouragement to the churches. But time chapter 4 came, and he said he was in the Spirit in chapter 4. He was in the Spirit in chapter 1. And the Lord said, what's the difference? I said, I don't know, Lord. What's the difference? He said, he was there. It's one thing to see something. It's quite another to be there and interacting with an event. John was not a 20th century apostle. He was a first century apostle interacting in a 21st, 22nd century operation that hasn't even happened yet. He's already interacted, lived out, watched everything that's about to happen in this earth. And everybody in the throne has too. Amen. And he was speaking and being toured by the four living creatures and by elders. They were touring him around and talking with him. And he was interceding. He interceded for the great event that's about to happen in chapter 5. So God took a first century man and moved him forward 2,000 years. And he actually dwelt in the events that are about to happen. Interacted in the events. That's a whole other prophetic. That's called time habitation. That's called omnipresence, omniscience, omnipotent dominion at its best, right? So God took his Spirit there and he interacted with people in an event that hadn't even happened. That's just still blows me away how that happened. Right? Because it's going to happen, but it's already happened in heaven. John already wept. He already saw the Lamb open the book. He already talked to the elders. He already saw the horses. He already saw the souls were going to win. Talked to the elder about the souls that were going to win. Amen. So God fast forwarded this man, this friend of God, 2,000 years forward. You know what he did with Moses? He went backwards 2,500 years. What do you think Moses was doing when he was cut up 40 days and 40 nights? It didn't take him that long to write the Ten Commandments. Even if he was chiseling them out. 40 days and 40 nights, caught up in the glory of God, come out with the glory of God on him and go back in. Covered his face. He was shining so much he'd cover his face in front of the people. He'd veil his face because it was shining. They were scared of him. He'd go back in and unveil his face. What was he looking at? He went and looked at Genesis. He went and dwelt there. He saw the events. He saw everything unfold. How can you have that much detail about an event 2,500 years later when you don't have any of the technologies we have today? How could he possibly? God said, I'm going to let you see behind me. I'm going to let you see behind where we're at right now because you got to write about it. So you can get everybody caught up to where we are. And then John, I'm going to let you see in front of me. I'm going to let you not only see, I'm going to let you inhabit in front of me. Isn't that glorious? Moses, friend of God. John, friend of God. Abraham, David, friends of God. Abraham and David spoke about having the counted righteousness. You know what a counted righteousness is? They operated by credit cards. You know what that means? That Abraham walked in to the promised land and said, this is my land. And the devil comes, I have a legal lease on all the earth. What gives you the authority to do what you're doing? And he whips out his MasterCard. He said, I have already foreseen that my master is going to restore all dominion and heaven and earth back to himself. I've already foreseen there's a new covenant coming. I've already foreseen the righteousness of that covenant. So I'm just going to charge all that to the master. He'll come and pay it later, but get on out of the way. I'm going to walk in accounted righteousness. I'm going to walk in a realm that doesn't belong to me, but because my spirit sees it, I reach over and grab it. David did the same thing. David was operating out of the right hand of God before he even had access to the right hand of God. Because these men foresaw what was coming. They entered into what they foresaw long before everybody else did. What does that mean? We foresee what is coming. The Spirit of the Lord said, you don't have to wait for all that to pour out. Go get it. Go get you some. If I see it, if David can reach into my dispensation, I can go reach into that one and get a crown before the church gets crowned. I'm going to go get a crown before the church gets crowned. I can see the operation of the seven spirits of God with the seven eyes of omniscience and omnipresence. I want to go in there. I don't have to wait. I'll reach in. I jump in. When God TV tells me there's a Revelation chapter 5, I jump in. I say amen. Remember the widow woman? Her son was demon possessed. She went to the Lord. He said, it's not meat. Give the children bread to dogs. He had to offend her. Why did he offend her like that? Because she was a Gentile looking for the bread that only belonged at that point to Israel. And he had to offend her to get her faith to reach into a dispensation that didn't belong to her yet. He offended her on purpose. She says, yes, Lord, but even the dog get the crumb from the table. And he goes, oh, woman, great, you did it. Great, you did it. You did it. You did it. Great is your faith. Go thy way, thy son's whole. Reached in, pull it out. Out from our innermost being floweth rivers of living water. Father, we reach in. Grab it. Deliver it. Clothe us. That which is to come, we clothe in it now. We clothe in it now.